So hello everyone. I'll be talking to you today about some of the work I did in Minnesota as part of this fellowship using our NVDRS system and expanding that to look at unintentional poisoning deaths or drug overdose deaths among our American Indian population in Minnesota. So to begin with, as we've seen across the U.S., drug overdose deaths have continued to rise. In Minnesota, they rose 13% in 2015, and we've seen a similar increase in both the seven-county metro, which is our urban area, and in greater Minnesota. So this is a concern across the state and not something that's just happening in our metro area. Prescription opioids continue to be involved in the majority of drug overdose deaths. They have steadily increased since about 2000, and they're almost double the number of drug overdose or of heroin overdose deaths, which are our second leading drug category. Heroin has increased more dramatically in the last 5 years. About 2011 or so, we saw the recent increase, and this is something that again has been seen across the U.S. We've also seen a more recent increase in methamphetamine-involved deaths, particularly in our rural areas. So that's of increasing concern to us. We've seen, in talking with our law enforcement, increased seizures and arrests for methamphetamine as well. So in 2015, Minnesota ranked sixth lowest among all states in the District of Columbia when looking at the age-adjusted drug overdose mortality rate at 10.6 per 100,000. So the five lower states were Iowa, Texas, North and South Dakota, and Nebraska. And so for reference, West Virginia had the highest drug overdose mortality rate at 41.5, so roughly four times higher than Minnesota's drug overdose mortality rate. So from this ranking, it kind of seems that the burden of the drug overdose epidemic in Minnesota is lower than in many other states, even though it is continuing to cause significant morbidity and mortality in Minnesota. This low ranking, however, masks significant racial disparities in Minnesota. So in 2015, Minnesota ranked first among all states when measuring the age-adjusted disparity ratio of deaths due to drug overdose among American Indians relative to whites and African Americans relative to whites. So the age-adjusted rate of death from drug overdose was more than five times greater among American Indian Minnesota residents relative to whites, and two times greater among our African American relative to whites. So while the traditional ranking kind of indicates Minnesota is quote-unquote healthy compared to other states, this masks significant racial disparities. And as I mentioned before, I'm going to focus primarily on our American Indian drug overdose deaths in this presentation here. So after further analysis, there were a couple of differences with our American Indian drug overdose deaths that warrant attention. So first, heroin was involved in the greatest number of drug overdose deaths among American Indian residents. So in this contrast with our statewide numbers, where we saw that prescription opioids were involved in the greatest number of deaths, and they were about twice as high as our heroin deaths for the state. So this trend kind of follows this finding for American Indian drug overdose deaths implies that this trend towards illicit opioids may have occurred earlier in this population compared to the overall Minnesota population. It also has important implications for prevention initiatives among our American Indian population. For example, state prescription monitoring programs or physician education regarding risk of prescription opioids may be less effective as illicit opioid use increases, and furthermore, heroin is associated with increased injection drug use, which also increases risk of other negative health consequences such as HIV, AIDS, hepatitis C, syphilis, and also something else to kind of been in discussions with is kind of the economics of drug use. Heroin is much cheaper than prescription opioids, and so our American Indian population is less wealthy than others in our state, so it may just be kind of an access thing, what they have access to, and it's important to keep that in mind as well. Second key difference here, we see this much younger age distribution in drug overdose deaths among American Indians compared to the white population here. So these are the percentage of drug overdose deaths in each age category. So in Minnesota, it is known that our American Indian population is younger than our overall or than our white population. And so this could just be reflected in these data here that where there are a greater percentage of younger residents. The distribution of drug overdose deaths has been shifting younger, kind of to the 25 to 34, so this 24-year age group. So this difference may again kind of reflect the drug overdose trends among American Indians being ahead of the statewide numbers. And then finally here we see that 95% of the American Indian drug overdose deaths are classified as unintentional on the death certificates by the medical examiners. And so we see a majority of drug overdose deaths in Minnesota are classified as unintentional, but it appears to be a greater skew towards deaths being classified as unintentional among American Indian drug overdose deaths. And we also see the percentage of American Indian drug overdose deaths classified as a suicide is lower than our statewide percentage. And so this is something to keep in mind as I continue with this, continue forward with this presentation. So just to talk about our data dissemination to the American Indian community. So we really disseminated this data in a deliberate manner to our sovereign tribal nations and many of the prominent American Indian organizations throughout the state of Minnesota. So this included the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council, both to the tribal leaders and to the tribal health directors. And the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council is the main organization that kind of takes each 11 tribal nations and then bridges, kind of communicates directly with our state government. So this is where a lot of the formal communication between these government agencies occurs. We also presented these results to the Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors, St. Paul Indians in Action, and at an American Indian Opioid Response Forum in one of our urban American Indian communities. And these data were sensitive, and so due to the significant disparities observed in the drug overdose mortality rates, and the American Indian community deserved to be informed about this first and really create their own narrative about how they wanted this data to be presented, how they wanted it to be shared, rather than us simply issuing a press release or something like that. They wanted them to really be the owners of these data and figure out and determine what the best way for them to go forward with these data. There's a number of feedback from the community presentations that kind of caught our attention. So first, these data validated and affirmed the community's concern regarding the significant burden of drug overdose deaths among the American Indian population. Additionally, the community stated their alarm at the disparities in drug overdose mortality rates. So individuals were aware of the significant burden of the drug overdose epidemic that was placing on the American Indian population in Minnesota. But the mortality rate and the disparity ratio in particularly were especially alarming. And finally, the feedback that most caught our attention was the belief that these deaths were misclassified, that the number of drug overdose deaths determined to be unintentional, as I mentioned before, was incorrect and overrepresented relative to the number of deaths that were classified as a suicide. So these comments kind of piqued our interest about this misclassification, and so we began kind of exploring ways we could look into this with the data sources we had currently available. So the misclassification of deaths is not something necessarily new. There have been a number of pieces of literature that have looked into this. So to determine that a death was a suicide, there is a high evidentiary standard that needs to be met for medical examiners. Often corroborative evidence is sought from multiple sources, including forensic evidence, toxicology reports, medical history, or witness accounts of recent behavior. However, with limited resources and increasing demands, medical examiners, these types of additional information may not be acquired or interpreted correctly. Other pressures that decrease suicide counts are life insurance penalties, stigma, moral or religious beliefs, as well as cultural mores. And then also, suicide is undercounted non-randomly by injury mechanism. So in the U.S., one study found that the mechanism of injury was the strongest predictor that a medical examiner would classify a death as a suicide. So this study compared less active, for example, poisoning or drug overdose versus more active mechanisms, such as firearm or strangulation, and found that the more active mechanism group was 46 times more likely to be classified as a suicide. And furthermore, when they looked at kind of differences by race, they found that American Indian drug overdose deaths were even more likely to be classified as an undetermined death rather than a suicide. And finally, it's been found that there is an association between substance use disorders with a stronger association with undetermined or unintentional classification of deaths versus suicide. So we kind of, from these literature review here, kind of it was recommended that we use the NVDRS to abstract these cases, the National Violent Death Reporting System, to abstract these cases and look further into them. So the NVDRS, if you don't already know, it collects timely, integrated, and comprehensive information on violent deaths in each state that has implemented this surveillance system. Generally, the violent deaths included are homicide, suicide, undetermined, and unintentional firearm deaths. However, the NVDRS also has the flexibility to expand the case definition to include unintentional drug overdose deaths. And this includes a designated data collection form for drug overdose deaths within the surveillance system. It collects information from multiple sources, such as death certificates, coroner medical examiner reports, law enforcement reports, and as well as data abstractor input. And through the collection of these various data sources, a comprehensive picture of the events and circumstances that led up to the death is created. So the goal is to really disseminate the information to stakeholders who work in violence prevention efforts. And so Minnesota began this system, implementing the system in 2015, so it's still it was still a relatively new system at the time of this study. So the decision was made to abstract all 2015 American Indian unintentional drug overdose deaths. Shortly thereafter, it was also the decision was made to include 2016 deaths as well. So there are two goals or aims of this project. First, it was to better understand the causes and circumstances related to the unintentional drug overdose deaths, using the unique abilities of the National Violent Death Reporting System. And second, based on these circumstances and preceding events, create a suicide probability score to better understand the magnitude of potential misclassification of unintentional drug overdose deaths among the American Indian population. So just a brief overview of some of the findings from our death certificates. There were 41 deaths in 2015, a mortality rate of 53.4 per 100,000. Heroin was the most frequent drug cited. There was a younger median age of decedents, and almost 95% of the deaths were classified as unintentional. Preliminary 2016 deaths show that there were, or death certificate data show that there were 43 deaths in 2016. So for comparison, I compared the American Indian unintentional drug overdose deaths for 2015 and 2016 and compared it to the drug overdose deaths that were classified as a suicide to just as a first step to see kind of how they differ and get better understanding. So first, we see that there are American Indian deaths were more primarily illicit drugs, whereas the intentional drug overdose were primarily illicit drugs. And there was slightly greater average number of drugs found from the toxicology reports in the NVDRS. These are the mental health, substance abuse, and other circumstances preceding death. So we found that a greater percentage of intentional drug overdose deaths reported a current mental health problem, were perceived to be depressed at the time of injury, had a suicidal thought, plans, or attempts, and had a history of attempting suicide. There was a similar percentage that had an alcohol problem or dependence, while a greater percentage of the unintentional drug overdose deaths had a non-alcohol-related substance abuse problem. So as mentioned previously, substance use disorders or substance use disorders have been more strongly associated with an undetermined or unintentional classification. Kind of moving quickly ahead, there weren't too many differences when you look at the drug overdose circumstances preceding death. I mean, there were differences, but they were primarily kind of what you would expect. We saw that drug paraphernalia was not found at intentional drug overdose deaths, primarily because these were associated with legal drugs, so they wouldn't have any drug paraphernalia there. In addition, there were rarely bystanders present at the intentional drug overdose deaths. The kind of the biggest piece here was that the narratives that the NVDRS allows to be documented review of all the different documents within the system. So these are just some of the narratives in the NVDRS that raise uncertainty about the classification as unintentional. So each of these is from a different decedent, a different case. And so just to highlight a few, the decedent decedent was described as depressed about their circumstances. Family stated they had been expecting the subject to take his life. Another example, a deceased told their guardian they were going to end it and intentionally overdosed. And so there are many examples found through, these are some more examples here that we found similar narratives that raise questions about the unintentional, quote-unquote, nature of these deaths. So to create the suicide probability score, we looked at all the cases that were abstracted, and based on the circumstances and different factors that were abstracted from the cases, we classified them as no evidence of suicide, possible, probable suicide, and then the suicides were only where the ME was certified. And so prior suicide ideation or attempts would likely lead to a more probable suicide classification, whereas death of a family member, change in health life circumstance, where that was noted to kind of influence their mindset or behavior, was more likely to be classified as a possible suicide. So these are results from the suicide probability scale. 69% were, we found to be, there was no evidence of suicide. These were primarily due to substance use disorders, or often occurred after a period of abstinence, either while in treatment or prison. Then the 2 or 3% were the ones that were previously classified as a suicide based on from the medical examiner. We found that 15% of the cases were possible suicide and 13% were classified as probable suicide. So just to, running out of time, but talking about the importance of the proper classification of deaths here, for suicide and drug overdose surveillance, it's key here. It's a misclassification is problematic for designing and mounting effective prevention strategies, and their accurate measurement of drug overdose deaths is a crucial first step to evidence-based prevention and treatment. So methods to improve continued use of the NVDRS to include unintentional overdoses. If the NVDRS is likely undercounting suicides, so that's a big component of the NVDRS is to get a better understanding of suicide deaths and the circumstances surrounding them. So it would be important to include those in future studies as well. Standardization of the process, support the use through psychological autopsies, and increase the use of psychiatric and psychological consultation with the medical examiners and coroners. So with that, thank you, my colleagues at the health department here, as well as SAMHSA and CSD for their support for this project. And then we're out of time, but if there are any questions, I'll stick around for a little bit, too.
Questions? Well, that's it. Thank you.